a moment's quiet before I pray. Heavenly Father, may my lips faithfully speak your word and all our hearts be open to receive it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If you listen to or watch any gardening program, there are sure to be questions and advice on how to help the plants grow better, flowers to flower more, and to bear a better crop of fruit, and also how to get rid of those pesky weeds. However, we do need to differentiate, don't we, between the plants and the weeds. We can get a little over-enthusiastic with our pulling up or our dosing with weed killer and actually kill some of the weeds, plants as well as the weeds. My dad used to have great trouble differentiating between plants and weeds, even when they were both fully grown. He was confined to mowing the lawn, which was just as well because he didn't like gardening anyway. Mind you, lawns can be vulnerable too. I won't even try to describe what the lawn at 33 Stacey Road looked like after Roger tried putting moss killer on it. It really didn't look much like a lawn at all. He seemed unable to apply it evenly, so it killed absolutely everything in sight. But the point here is that it's sometimes difficult to get rid of the weeds without hurting the plants you actually want to grow. And to mix metaphors, I suppose the phrase, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, comes to mind as well. Jesus told a similar story in describing life in the kingdom of God, and that's what we heard this morning. It also teaches us something about the reality of living in the real world. So that story is the parable of the weeds, which David has just read to us, and page 979 in the church Bibles, if you haven't still got them open. So just to set this briefly in the context of the bigger picture, the four Gospels recount the birth, life, teaching, death, and resurrection of Jesus, who was the complete fulfillment of all the prophecies in the Old Testament. And our passage today finds Jesus in that teaching phase of his ministry. And the arrangement of the parables in this chapter 13, with the intervening explanatory material, parallels that of the miracles in chapter 8 of the same book. They both focus on the identity of Jesus and the bringing in of his kingdom. So fulfillment and God's kingdom are the key themes of Matthew's gospel. The phrase, the kingdom of heaven is like, begins 6 out of the 7 parables in chapter 13. But why did Jesus teach in parables? They were a much used way of teaching, but not perhaps by Jesus until this point in his ministry. They were easy to understand for those who wanted to be taught, but not easy to understand for those who did not want to learn. And see the fulfillment in verse 34, which is actually words from Psalm 78. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. So Jesus here is speaking to a large crowd. So large that we read at the beginning of the chapter, he got into a boat and went out from the shore and spoke there. However, we learn from verse 36 that he left the crowd and only explained the parable to the disciples. And this parable is only recounted by Matthew. It's not in the other Gospels. It's what one commentator, I think slightly amusingly, calls a familiar account of agricultural sabotage. And it follows on immediately from the parable of the sower. The actual story needs little comment, and we have a sufficient explanation of its meaning in verses 36 to 43. It's very much looking to the future, and that in many ways is what we're doing particularly today in this coming week of Holiday Club. That's what Holiday Club's all about, isn't it, in many ways. We will hopefully see many future disciples of Christ. We don't know who they are, who they will be, coming through this church and St. Peter and St. Paul in the coming days. So, looking to the future, we might say, both the passages we've heard today. So I'm looking in terms of sowing, growing, and gathering. So looking first at sowing. A And in the parable of the sower, which preceded the one we heard today, the seed was good. It was the soil which was the problem. And we all know about that. I know about it. Nothing grows in my garden. I always blame the soil. But in this parable today, it's the second type of seed which is the problem. And that seed can be sown anywhere. And sometimes people did deliberately sow bad seed in other people's fields. It can be scattered. It can even end up in the church. So what is the weed in the parable? It is apparently what is called darnel and looks very like wheat in the early stages of its growth. However, its grains can be poisonous and, as well as being therefore commercially ruinous, can be quite dangerous. And there will always be hostile powers in this world to destroy that good seed. Both good and bad seed will have an influence over our lives, so we need to be watchful. The good in the world comes from Christ, and we are also his instruments to sow good seed. However, Satan is devious and will use subtle ways of achieving his ends. Notice from our reading, "But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed seeds among the wheat and went away." The relationship between the wheat and the weed has already been mentioned and has a clear parallel in everyday life. The good and the bad seeds grow together, exist together, and are often indistinguishable. Once they can be identified and differentiated, their roots are already intertwined, and yanking the bad out will probably destroy the good as well. And I hope you can see where I was going by choosing a harvest hymn, because that was talking about wheat and tares growing together. And I may have told this story before, and it's not exactly one example of good and bad, but of intertwined roots. And Roger and I had this sort of artificial coal scuttle. I say it was artificial, but we hadn't ever used it for coal. So we thought it was rather attractive. We put it by the fireplace, and we put this houseplant in it. The houseplant thrived very well. In fact, it thrived too much, and it kept looking like one of these ones that was going to grab you. So we decided it had to go wherever all houseplants go on the Day of Judgment. So we went to move it, only to find that he had put down roots, and they'd all gone through the carpet. And we just felt so embarrassed. We look at this plant, and it was literally growing in the carpet. So we had to sort of pull up a bit of good with the bad there, but it was just going to show that it looked a really good plant, but down below it wasn't as good as it appeared. So we've seen the sowing of the seeds. Now we look at the growing of the seeds. And the previous parable reminded us that growth needs good soil. So it's important to find the right soil to ensure we can respond to God's word. Seed growing isn't a finished product, it's a process. And the same is true of the kingdom of God. Throughout creation, there will be persistent growth if the right conditions prevail. Sometimes against all the odds, we see the kingdom growing, don't we, in places where everything seems to be against it. And the same in God's garden. And as we shall see, there will be different results at the time of harvest. The disciples were probably confused by Jesus' word about believers and non-believers existing together, particularly after he'd proclaimed the kingdom. However, there are a number of examples, we won't go into detail, of good and bad side by side in Matthew's gospel. Take the parable of the wedding feast, or the false prophet, wolves in sheep's clothing, and the foolish and wise bridesmaids. By letting the good and the bad grow together, God is giving all those who would receive him the chance to become his followers. And lives can be turned round. We see that. We know that. God is being patient and judging a person by his whole life, their whole life, not by one single act. And we can be too quick, can't we, sometimes, to label people good or bad without knowing the full facts, or by believing everything we read in the papers or see in the media or witnessing one act. So assuming we've found the right soil and we are living and growing as Christians, we should be concentrating on bearing fruit for God. But we need to be aware of the devious ways that Satan works as this parable exemplifies. The weeds didn't appear until the wheat had sprouted. They'd remain hidden. So how crafty is that? A sort of secret wickedness. But as we frequently hear in the media, crimes which have remained hidden for years do eventually come to light and dark secrets are revealed. And we all have limited time and energy, and we should focus on spreading God's kingdom. It's not for us to judge others. There will be a day of judgment for us all. In the meantime, we need to continue growing and living with those who differ from us while holding firm to our Christian values and principles. So if God is tolerating the wicked in the present for the sake of the righteous, what about the final gathering? The passage we heard from Paul's letter to the Romans is very much about the future, with a great sense of expectation, such that Paul says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed." And Paul is very sure that we're ultimately safe in the hands of our God. And in Jesus' parable, we're shown God's loving forbearance. That should be a clear message to us. We shouldn't seek revenge, but look on every situation with compassion. That slips easily off the tongue, and I can think of more than one instance last week when I didn't do that. I didn't look on something with compassion. So we mustn't take God's judgment into our own hands. And to quote one commentator, but to recognise that with humility we all stand condemned, were it not for the amazing merciful love of God which has dropped the charges and set us free. Sin has to be punished, and so God in his love sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place, taking the punishment our sins deserved. The barrier of sin has been removed, and we are saved from hell and eternal destruction by Jesus. As Romans chapter 8 begins, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But that doesn't let us off the hook. We will still be under the spotlight on Judgment Day. Again in Romans, for we all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, "As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God," as we will sing later. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. So just as a crop grows to a certain point and is harvested, we're all moving towards that certain time of gathering and the separating of the wheat from the weeds. So verses 40 to 43 of our reading today are one of the most explicit accounts of the final judgment. And we may often think, mightn't we, that sinners escape the consequences of their actions. But let's just hear again. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. So let us hear indeed. So perhaps we should conclude by asking ourselves a couple of questions. And the first may seem a little blunt and perhaps a bit insulting. Are we wheat or are we weeds? We might rather indignantly say, well, of course, we're wheat. In which case, are we bearing fruit, and are we ready for that future day of judgment? Are we bearing fruit, and are we ready for that future day of judgment? As we are looking to the future, we ask that we may be sowing good seed, growing as good seed, mindful of the dangers of entanglement with sin, which has also been sown, and at the day of judgment be part of the gathering of the righteous. The harvest is coming. Don't delay. That is why I wanted to include what seemed like a harvest hymn before we had our reading from Matthew. So looking to the future and sowing, growing, gathering. all to the praise and glory of our Heavenly Father. So shall we just hold a moment's quiet before I close in prayer? Lord Jesus Christ, we know we have sinned in our thoughts, words, and actions. There are so many good things we have not done. There are so many sinful things we have done. We are sorry for our sins and turn from everything we know to be wrong. You gave your life upon the cross for us. Gratefully, we give our lives back to you. Come into our lives afresh as our Saviour to cleanse us, as our Lord to control us, and as our friend to be with us. So we will serve you in obedience, now and for always. Amen.